And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here. Rock Cod Rick Mexa is here too in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. Sean and Raymond from Fisherman's Processing. What an interesting show. Having a lot of fun talking some fishing and giving away an amazing prize today.
Boy, we really are. Yeah, if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, check this out. So each caller, a caller and a texter are each going to win a prize today. You know, usually we flip the coin and the prize goes to either a caller or a texter. Well, today you're each going to get a prize if you're the big winner at the end of the show. And that is the complete poke kit from Fisherman's Processing. We talk about it all the time. It is my favorite thing that you guys do and such a cool thing to keep on the boat. Where you can, you know, you can bust that out at the end of the day, or you can bring a fish from a previous trip, and it just makes making restaurant quality poke so easy. There's literally nothing more than cutting your fish up into little cubes, put a little bit of the spice, put a little bit of the sauce, mix it up on a bowl, and it really is. I mean, you nailed it. It's really, really cool
and good stuff.
A fun kit. And a caller is going to win that today at the end of the show, and a texter is also going to win that at the end of the show today. So we're giving away one of those to a caller, one to a texter. And then if that works,
we are going to flip the coin.
Yeah, we are going to flip the coin. And then the winner of that coin toss is also going to get an Anza fillet knife. So
yeah.
A really cool prize at the end of the show today.
Yeah, one of those high-carbon steel Anza fillet knives that are just, like, as you heard from Raymond, state-of-the-art.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
The best. Yeah, for sure. A lot of phone calls, a lot of texts. Let's go ahead and jump into the phones.
We're going to talk to Hills. Hills is calling us from Ventura this morning. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm curious on the it seems like a tuna is just meant as food. There's so much big loins on there and everything. But as far as all the species that you guys cut, what's the one – What's one, for instance, that has a really good yield, you know, because between, like, the bloodlines and the bones and all that, is tuna the best, the different tuna species?
I would probably go with an wahoo. Wahoo, you yield a lot back from. It doesn't have too much of bloodline. The bloodline on the Onos aren't as thick, I would say, as, like, the yellowfin tuna or your bluefin. Another good yielding fish is your halibut. They also, you know, don't have too much of
not a big stomach.
Bloodline.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hard to cut.
Yeah.
Slimy and
yeah, they always
want
to slide off the table.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that. Have a great text here from John in Chula Vista. And that is, he says, good morning. After you cut your fish and rinse off anywhere around the processing and the fish, do you use salt water or fresh water? That's the age-old question. What do you use?
Fresh water.
So the old thing that's like the fresh water is going to degrade the quality of the fish, that's not true.
Soaking in water will degrade it.
Soaking in fresh
any
water. Yeah, whether it be fresh or salt.
But
so you can rinse it off with fresh or salt.
Patting it dry.
It doesn't matter, huh?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter at all.
Sean said something to me a long time ago, and like it was the lesson to live by, and it was if you keep your station clean, you need to rinse so much less at the end of it. You know, when you're done breaking your fish down, then you know have a wet rag and a dry one, and just wipe your board off and before you go to the next one. If you've got a bloody gut pile, all this kind of stuff, and then you try to go cutting again, like it's just going to introduce all those contaminants every time. But if you take a little bit of time, wipe your knife off, wipe your station off, like you're going to have so much less that you then need to try to clean off anyways.
Good call.
All right. Hey, a good text came through. Said, Raymond, I'm curious if you process rockfish and smallfish differently than you do tuna or yellowtail. Do you make all your cuts the same, or does each fish require a different step?
Each fish has a different step, I would say. Your rockfish, you would fillet more like a yellowtail, where you don't quarter loin it. Your tuna, I usually quarter loin those. But yeah, like the rockfish, I cut the same way I would with yellowtail. So my rockfish yellowtail, I cut the same, and then my tuna species I cut by quartering is usually the easier way to do it.
The end product when you know, like when one of those Colinette trips come back or something like that, with the way you guys package those rockfish fillets is so good looking. You know what I mean? It's just perfect fillet in that fisherman's processing treatment. Like that is the man. That is just it's so primo looking.
Yeah,
I love it.
Rockfish is wonderful to eat. I love it.
It's my favorite.
Good stuff. Can you tell when people are really taking care of their fish?
Yeah, you could totally tell by just the texture of the meat. If it's been, you know, kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say neglected, but if it sat out on deck for a little bit too long, you could totally feel the texture be more soft or mushy.
Softer or mushy.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then once it goes down in the fish hole and they try and bring that temperature up, it starts to just kind of... It wouldn't harden up, I'd say, but it stays kind of more of a mushy or a...
In the RSW. Pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, when you start cutting a fish, you can say, this one's way good and this one's not so good.
These guys are so good. They know when they put too much salt in the RSW well.
Is that right?
You guys can tell. Sure.
And what happens?
Well, your knife, you could feel it kind of, it's almost like you're cutting through Play-Doh. Your knife just sticks more.
Really? If it's salty.
What a trip.
Interesting. And as far as the handling of the fish, like they always say, don't drop the fish on the deck. Don't slam the fish down. Does bruising happen?
Oh yeah, bruising is. So it's very important to make sure you're not slamming or throwing them around, because that does make a big difference. Because a lot of times, like you're saying, the bruising or it's kind of the bruising really does break up that fish bad. It may not look like it on the outside, but once you put your knife in there, it starts to either just fall apart or break apart, which is really bad. That's where you're going to get a lot of your waste.
It's a cumulative. It happens on the boat once, and then coming off the boat, it happens again. And then unloading at the top of the dock, it happens again. All that adds up in the end to to not a good product. Yeah. And so it's a good rule that whatever side the tag is on that fish, that side's always facing up. That helps you guarantee that side at least will be perfect because it's not going to touch the ground. But when you're unloading a boat and sorting your fish out at the top of the dock, just keep it in mind that, you know, don't gaff the loins and don't bounce the fish or throw the fish. Just take it easy because it does add up in the end to a mushy fish.
And I always see you guys loading all your fish into those bins that have ice and slush water, whether it's loading them straight from the boat into it or if they are getting sorted at the top of the dock, you guys have bins behind you that immediately goes into. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you guys just take so many extra steps. Like, really, the fish isn't going to be out that long, but why take... Why leave?
Yeah, temperature.
It's probably 30 minutes from when it comes out of the hole to reach the processing, or an hour. But you know, why give it that hour? Like you guys put it in a slush bin. Now it's more work and more weight, more everything else for you to deal with. But it's the right way to treat
it. The right way.
I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Sherm.
Hey, morning, guys. I love this topic. It takes me back to cleaning albacore on the sport boats for a quarter of fish. You know. Question for you on ling cod. You know, there's that little line of pin bones in there. How do you guys deal with flaying up a decent ling cod? Because I always have issues with those little pin bones being in there. Do you have to pick them out or do you cut them out? What do you do?
Yeah, I usually just cut them out like you would on your rockfish.
That's the easiest way to
handle it.
And they're like down the center, like where a bloodline in a tuna would be. It's a row
exactly.
of bones.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And I believe on those... They don't go all the way down. They usually stop halfway, right at the end of the belly.
Don't we loin those guys, quarter loin them?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we do split them.
Yeah.
Especially a nice.
What's that
mean?
The pin bones go down the middle where the bloodline is.
So you just make a top half and a bottom half.
Make a top half and a bottom half.
Like you would a tuna.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And take the pin bones out in the process.
Okay.
By just removing that whole section.
I gotcha.
Because, like you say, on a good sized fish, the top loin is more than the top half of the fillet is more than you're gonna you'd probably portion that out that way anyway. So.
Yeah, the bottom half becomes like a ling cod taco, and then the top half is a nice fillet.
That's cool.
Gotcha. That help you, Sherm?
Yeah. It's just that pin line bone or bloodline. I guess it's just such good looking white meat, I always feel like I'm wasting a good fish, you know.
Which is cut tight.
Hey, yeah. We understand that, yeah.
Real tight, huh?
Yeah.
You got it.
All right. Hey, thanks, Sharon. Appreciate that very much. Hey, great text here from Tom in San Clemente. He wants to know if the cost varies of the processing varies with species.
No.
No.
Same.
It's all the same.
No.
So if it's a rockfish or it's a tuna. It's
fish under 15 pounds. Yeah, I can't remember. The off-season
killed
me.
Here.
The off-season's killed me. But we do charge more for fish that are under 15 pounds unless it's kind of like, three bluefin tuna that weigh 100 pounds each and a couple rockfish, we're not going to ding you on the rockfish.
Gotcha.
But if you go on a rock fishing trip and you got a bag full of rockfish, then it's going to be a little more expensive.
Because it's more labor intensive.
It's almost double the amount of labor for half the yield.
At least double.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
All right. Well, why don't we head on out to the tribute right now? We got Captain Mike Pritchard is on the line.
Wow.
Yeah, always anxious to hear what's going on in the water. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Not quite on the water yet, but we are wrapping up our boat work, and we are going to be there shortly.
All right.
Shortly. So just a typical tribute fashion of doing boat work. Well, somehow we always end up doing more than we should, but for those guys, I know it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, but we completely redone our bunk room overhead, wheelhouse, and some nice upgrades throughout the boat, but we will be online. We're going to try to shoot for a week earlier. As of right now, our first open party trip is the night of the 21st. It is sold out. The following weekend is close to sold out. But, with all the stuff going on, it's, the bluefin being caught by the Supreme and what we're seeing, man, it's pretty exciting. And this weather has absolutely beat us up as far as trying to get the boat done, but we needed it.
Yeah, not easy to paint in the rain.
Oh man, I get a drive by El Cap almost every day on my way down to the boat. And watching that thing come up the way it is, I'll take it. But usually it's not something we have to do where we got to stop our project every few days and figure out a way to do it around the rain. But we do very, very nice upgrades. Hopefully this bluefin thing keeps going and gives the processors a very busy spring.
Yeah, we hope so. Certainly enough fish around. It's just a matter of getting the weather to go catch it.
Yeah, it's we've seen some choppy springs in the past, and we're crossing our fingers on this one. But yeah, no shortage of fish to be had for sure.
Well, it sure feels like. I mean, I don't know if it feels like it or not, but I'm just saying it. I think it's over. Get through this wind. We got a little bit of wind the next couple of days, and then on smooth sailing, biting fish.
I like it.
I'm ready
for it. Yeah, supposed to have 80 degree days. So.
Sounds good to me.
It's back to normal.
Yeah,
right.
We'll take that to finish our boat work. I'm tired of doing projects in my living room floor to bring it back down to the boat.
Roger.
Well, we're excited to see the boat, Mike. And like you say, that's like always been the tribute thing is, Mike will decide that he's going to paint, one little patch. And the next thing you know, the whole topside's redone. And I'm sure we're excited to see, especially projects. It's always fun when you do projects that we all get to enjoy and we get to see it when it's above
the
water instead of below it.
And this is definitely stuff that the passengers will see. And having a bunch of crew members down there in rainy conditions, I got to stop doing this to myself. Well, what do you want to do next? Let's rip out the bunk room.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's just a real small project. Yeah, right. And they go, what?
It's a bad habit, but it definitely adds to the overall experience later on. So
it's also why the tribute's such a good-looking ride.
Yeah. We're really looking forward to hearing your reports that you so generously take the time to do most weeks here on Let's Talk Hookup 2. A live report from the boat is always a great thing, and our listeners say one of the best things about Let's Talk Hookup is hearing those live reports from the captains on the boat. So keep those
up. And hopefully there's some coming soon.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. All right, Mike. Well, appreciate it. Great to hear from you.
Appreciate that, Mike.
All right, thanks.
All right, had a great text come through. Hey, guys, good morning and congrats to Sean, Raymond, and all the team for all your success. As we are all aware, we've been blessed with some incredible years of fishing and look forward to seeing what this season brings. In the past couple of years, we have always had our fish done by Fisherman's Processing, but as a private boater, do you ever take reservations for private boat fish? Seems like all your time is dedicated to the sport boat fleet, which we completely understand, but it's tough with us tough for those of us that don't have a trip planned months in advance. So I guess my question is, on average, is there a required lead time to get in with a private boat? That's from Will in Santa Barbara.
Good question.
On the private boats, it's call, or really should text us the morning you want to bring fish in. And we don't have any kind of rule saying we don't handle private boats, and we will if we have room for it.
Do you take advance
reservations? We don't take advance reservations for private boats.
For private boats,
no.
Okay.
But if you text us and see if we have availability, we take in fish at the shop all the time.
Yeah,
if
so people can bring it over.
Yeah,
you will.
Absolutely.
But if you can't, you can't.
If it's a busy day, we're done.
Yeah,
if you're turning down guys that are going on a long range trip, you don't have the ability to take another private boat fish.
Hopefully we don't turn down too many people, but when you're full, you're full.
Yeah, for sure. And so what's that text number?
That text number is the shop line. It's just a regular line. It's 619-255-3128. And you just go ahead and text us your request. You don't have to explain anything. Just say, I'm John Smith. I got fish I want to bring in, or I'm going on the, whatever boat you're going on, and I return on this date, and we will respond to that.
Okay. So, and that's the key, is that you do have a response and a record of your reservation.
We clear all of our texts and voicemails every day. So you will get a response within 24 hours.
Yeah. So confirming that you confirmed the reservation.
Yeah, confirm or what you should do, more instructions, yeah.
Yeah. What happens if somebody says, hey, I had a reservation, but they really didn't?
They should have a text message that shows us that. And that's why we do it that way.
So what you're saying is keep that text message.
Keep that text message as a record that you had a reservation. If something goes wrong, just show us that and we'll honor it.
Okay. All right.
There it is.
And that's important, because sometimes it happens where people say they have a reservation and then they don't.
Yeah.
And if for some reason your reservation got lost in the shuffle, just hold that text message. Hold on to that text message.
Yep.
And just say, hey, man, here it is.
You
right
told
here.
Me almost.
Yeah. And you got it.
And you got it.
How about shorter range trips? Does that kind of fall in the same thing as a private boat trip? Like, I'm going on a day and a half on the Queen, or I'm going on a day and a half on the Pegasus, and I'm coming back on this day. Like,
Other than like group charters where they want to make a reservation for the whole group. Most of those, if they're just individuals, we tell them where we're going to be at the dock that day, check in with us at the booth, and if we can add you on to whatever we're doing, we certainly will. Yeah. And we probably will be able to, especially this early spring fishing, for sure we'll be able to add you.
You call Melanie and say, I'm coming in on the Condor, we're supposed to begin at 8 o'clock. She says, okay, well, 8 o'clock, we're doing the Independence, so we'll be at Point Loma Sport Fishing. Throw your fish in a cart, bring them over to us. If we've got room, you're
or check in with us. Just walk over and say, hey, fish,
sure.
And I'll send some crew over to help you move your fish, because some of these guys are 200-pound fish.
Sure.
Might need a little help.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you handle those big fish? I know you're not lifting 200-pounders onto the table, right?
Right. No, we have a winch that usually will lift it out of the bin and then onto the table, which makes it a lot easier to maneuver.
I can imagine. That's makes... So you just winch the fish rather than get a bunch of guys lifting it out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have forklifts and stuff to move that stuff around in the shop.
In the shop, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that must take some talent just to get that fish moved around the shop, right?
Yeah.
That big fish.
Yeah. Especially when you got 20 guys running around.
What's your limit on the winch? I mean, like, how big a fish will you go to the winch?
Anything under 500 pounds.
Well, 500. Like when I think you're saying, like, when do you use it? Like,
do you use it on a 100 pounder? Do you use it on an 80 pounder?
Depending how late it is in the season. If we're been working a lot, 100 pounder, we'll throw it on there just to make it easier. We'll even hook up maybe two on there and make it easier to put on the table. But normally, anything about 150, we'll just throw on. I mean, throw on the winch, and then anything under, now we could handle it. Lifting and putting.
Depends on how tired you are.
Yeah,
I get that for sure. That's great.
Sure.
All right. Hey, with that said, we're going to find out what's biting out there. It's time for our fishdope.com report from the week from your saltwater guide. Hey, today that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Bros of Fisherman's Processing. We've been talking about it all day. The absolute best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can always purchase the fresh fish, the smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese. My favorite, and never talked about the tuna burgers and that awesome poke kit. Stop by their location on Old Town and Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. We talk about it every week, but be sure to make those reservations by texting, again, 619-255-3128. The second you're done making your reservation with whatever boat, the next phone call you should make is that text to secure your reservation with Fisherman's Processing.
For sure.
No doubt about it. With that said, let's find out what's going on. Your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, is on the line with that fishdope.com report. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Great show. I wish they had something like that back in the 80s when I was a deckhand. That would have been so nice to not.
Yeah, but what about that side money, man?
Yeah. Well, we don't have any of that left, so I don't think it really mattered. Oh, my goodness. That would have been awesome to have drop off all the fish to Ray. Say, hey, Sean, let me know. We'll be back over this afternoon to pick all the fish up. That would have been incredible. But, hey, Pete, thank you so much. Great show. Everybody enjoyed it. I got so many comments. You did a phenomenal job. It was fun interviewing you for a change. That was great.
That was
thank
fun.
You.
Yeah, I spent an hour with Dave on Friday doing his Facebook Live, and it was really fun to hang out with you. And your social media presence is truly impressive. I can say that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, we have the fourth most viewed video on Facebook, which is a pretty big deal. We have 77.8 million views.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, it's truly impressive. Your social media.
Thank you very much. Yes, he is. He is the man. But, hey, I got some reports from some of our members that did not go rockfish fishing. They stayed inside tight and fished the lagoons down there. In your neck of the woods, Rick and Pete, they fished those lagoons and said, really good halibut fishing. The fish had moved into those lagoons down there, the Del Mar, the Lacadia, all that stuff there. There's some halibut inside those lagoons. They had really fun fishing and pretty good spotted bay bass fishing in there too, which is great for what we got on the horizon here tomorrow and the next day. That might be something to go check out. And then the rockfish, like Brian Woolley said, it was pretty good rock fishing everywhere. A lot of our members were fishing the shallows, San Onofre, Long Beach, and then big news, and really, to be perfectly honest, it's so hard to keep up with this rockfish regulations thing, but that 14-mile bank being open, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I don't even think you need a spot. You just go out there and drop. There's so many fish on that thing. It's just absolutely incredible. The high spot, you know, it comes up to like 49 fathoms or something like that, 50 fathoms. They said it was just full speed, all you want, big boccaccio, like really, really fun fishing. And they were doing that with the bass rods. They weren't out on the edges. My members don't really want to go fish in a million feet of water, so they were having a ball catching the big boccaccio on their bass reels. So all we need is, like Rick and you keep saying, Pete, we just need this wind to stop blowing. And maybe next week, like Ricky's saying, it looks pretty cool. Next weekend looks really, really cool. So let's keep our fingers crossed and see what happens.
Yeah,
I like
for
it,
sure. Fishdope.com. The boys will have everything for you. When that bluefin yellowtail starts biting too, they're going to tell you when to go on your boat. $20 off a new membership, thefishdope.com. The other thing they have are all those water charts, temperature charts, chlorophyll charts, everything you need to find the fish on your own. And, Dave, finding you is easy, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, if you don't see me, I don't know how that could possibly be. But if you don't see me, let me know so I can get more active on social media. But, yeah, your saltwater guide. I'm on everything. It's hard not to see me. And we're making some new videos today. Kelly and I are down at the beach right now shooting some surf fishing videos. So keep an eye out for those, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
See you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Yeah, you can check out Dave's site and see that interview if you missed it with me and talking stuff with Dave.
That's cool.
Thank you, buddy.
Not a lot of fishing stuff, but we talked about how Let's Talk Hookup came. We talked about Rock God Rick and Corey.
Oh, we talked about Rick a lot.
Talked about Marty and all kinds of stuff. So it was an interesting hour for sure, spending it with you, Dave. You did a great job.
Thanks, buddy. All right, guys. Talk to you next
week.
Sunday.
All right, very good. Hey, some great texts, some great phone calls. I have a great text here from our good buddy Corey in Escondido that always has good information here. He says, good morning, guys. I hear about tuna bellies and always getting them when I pick. I'm always getting them when I pick up my fish from you. But I'm embarrassed to admit that I have no idea what to do with them when I get home. And I agree with him. It's like,
he's
oh, yeah.
A little intimidating.
I always
him.
Say, hey, you want a tuna belly? And then people go, yeah, I want them. How should I prepare them?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because it is more intimidating than, like, the perfect block of fish,
yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, until you figure it out.
Oh,
but,
it's so good.
I mean, first, on the bluefin, like, sashimi. Just slice off a piece and enjoy it, just sashimi.
But how do you get that, like, there's the hard skin on both sides? Raymond,
well,
how do you get to that sashimi?
Well, usually, like, for us, we're at our processing station, we like to take that membrane off the top of the belly. But we do leave the skin attached just because it is such a flaky piece of meat. Like Sean was saying, using it for sashimi.
So the piece you're going to get from fisherman's processing, you've already removed that membrane.
Yeah, the membrane.
That's huge.
Yeah. So then from there, like what I'll do at home is I'll just chip away little pieces of it, or I like to bake it.
Oh, okay. Bake it in the oven.
Yeah.
And how do you bake it?
I usually just put a little bit of cilantro, a little bit of peppers and stuff like that, and then I'll bake it for maybe 10, 15 minutes or something like that. And that way I don't dry it out, and then the oils, you know, it cooks in its own oil, so it's really
good.
Nice.
I'm a Traeger guy, man. I think it's right in the Traeger.
Yeah.
Smoke it up.
With the skin on?
Yeah.
Skin on.
Okay.
Skin down. Don't flip it or anything.
Skin down.
Just leave it. You almost can't overcook a bluefin belly.
Because it's so oily.
So
and it's
oil.
That and it's the good oil.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah.
So you can get so much smoke flavor on it if that's what you like. Put a little sesame spice on it.
Because some of those bigger fish are big. Fat bellies.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like
and the flavor is like night and day.
So
it's
different.
Like there's two different completely
the
flavor
oil,
you're
profiles.
You're right about that, yeah.
Right?
The oil is...
Yeah.
Makes it
well, it's all the fat,
different.
Right?
It, fat oil. And then just above it on the lower loin, they call it the otoro, just above the belly, you'll also see a lot of that in the lower loin.
Oh.
It's oily or fatty.
So if you get those really pieces that kind of turn white... That's the lower loin.
Almost sometimes it looks like two colors. It'll be red on one side of the fillet and a little bit white on the other. That's the lower belly.
And that's all the fat.
It's the fat.
Yeah. And that's like, would you go to Toyosu Market in Tokyo, that's what they pay big bucks for. Is the white, more fat content in that fish, the more money they're going to get for that fish.
That's,
so that's where the flavor is, right?
They like the texture of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, softer. It just melts in your mouth.
So when you get when you go to a sushi bar and you order bluefin belly, is it actually those from that belly?
The toro they call it.
Uh huh.
It's a belly cut. That's the from the belly.
Yeah.
The thick pieces that we take the membrane off. That's that.
Okay. All right.
That's cool. Hey, a great text came through. I really like this one's from John in Mira Mesa. Says, first I want to give a testimony. I remember some years back bringing in a bunch of bonito, and Raymond happened to be there to receive them. I was almost embarrassed to submit to the legendary Raymond, but he treated my order with the same respect as somebody would have with a cow tuna and even complimented me on how nice the fish looked, and he's a real class act. My question is, what is involved in processing an OPA, and is the cost different because of its unique skeletal and different cuts?
Well, the cost, I believe, is the same as like we were saying, as any species. Now, the OPA, yeah, that's probably one of the trickier fish to cut. And it's crazy because when you cut an OPA, there's three different types of meat that are in there, and they all have different colors to them. The only thing that... with the OPA is you really, the yield on them is very low. There is I wouldn't say a waste, but the bone structure of those are really tricky.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and hard to cut.
Yes, very.
Yeah, very difficult to cut.
Yeah, it's not like your tuna or your yellowtail, so it's something that takes a little more time to perfect as far as making sure you get everything for everybody.
I mean, obviously a rare fish, but of a handful of them obviously have come through your table over the years.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can't imagine. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup with the gang from Fisherman's Processing right here at the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. The sport shows are coming, and it's the best time to buy that new boat you've always wanted. Rock Cod Rick here to remind you that West Coast Marine and Parker Boats will be at the PCS show, as well as the Bart Hall Long Beach show, this year showing off some of their most popular models of Parker Boats and Yamaha outboards. Kevin Kelly is certainly responsible for putting hundreds of anglers and their Parkers at the shows and at their Costa Mesa location of West Coast Marine. Carrying on the tradition that our friend Kevin Kelly did so well is his nephew Nick Kelly at their shop on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa. Kevin was a fixture at the shows for many years and will be missed by all, but you can be assured that Nick will do everything possible to carry out Kevin's tradition of taking care of his customers and getting them in the right boat outfitted the way you want. Nick will have several Yamaha-powered Parker boats at the show available for you to check out. Be sure to go by the West Coast Marine booth at the PCS show and the Bart Hall Long Beach show, or stop by their Costa Mesa location and share your memories of Kevin with Nick. Check westcoastmarine.com.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's K-A-T-M-A-I.com. Katmai.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year, and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Go, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. So much cool info. Raymond, I don't know, man, you have to come back. You have to keep doing this. This is great, man. So much killer stuff. I'm having a great time.
Let's jump in the phones.
You got it. If you want to get your shot to get through, it's 213-432-1090. Let's talk to Sean. He's calling us from Oceanside this morning. What's up, Sean? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as always. So I've had that pokey before, and I loved it. But my question is, at what point with the fish does it get too old to make the pokey with?
Good question.
Yeah, totally.
Well, normally, like our shot policy is we only keep it in the refrigerator for 3 days and we freeze it. But once it's frozen, you can still make pokey out of it later. You just bring it out. We have a YouTube video on our Fisherman's Processing YouTube channel that describes how to wrap it in paper towels and defrost it properly to get the best texture out of it that you can. I recommend doing that. But that fish should be good for a year, even if it's been frozen.
That you know, style that you guys promote is like the difference of making poke out of a frozen piece of fish. Because if you just rip open a bag, or if you run it under cold water, whatever, like, that fish is not what you want to be doing the poke out of. But if you take your time to defrost it the way that you guys promote to do, you can cube that thing up, eat it all day.
Absolutely. And you really do need to go through the process of defrosting it correctly if you are going to have poke, because it makes a world of difference.
The color is the thing that I can't get over. Like, the texture is almost less of it for me, but, like, the color comes back when you defrost it slow and pull all that moisture off of it. And,
yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, you eat with your eyes first, and, like, the difference between the one done right and not is pretty huge.
Yeah, getting it out of the vacuum seal bag, let the oxygen get to that meat, and it really does bring the color back.
So, yeah, Bruce had a question, and he also says, go Aztecs. he wants to know, what's the best way to quickly defrost fish? Is there a good way to there's no good way to quickly defrost
fish. Get yourself a time machine. Go back the day before when you should have started the process.
Let's just pretend that for some reason you can't use the correct process, which is on our YouTube channel.
And that is basically taking it out the day before and wrapping
it.
Day or two before. And wrapping it in paper towels to suck all that moisture out, right?
And swapping out the paper towels as they get saturated.
Oh, okay. How often do you...
As soon as it gets saturated, switching with some fresh paper towels.
But
now, if you get it yourself in a pinch, you got company coming over and you got to do it quickly. Here's my suggestion: is you cut it out of the bag just like you would, wrap it in paper towels, put it then in a Ziploc bag, and then do your water method or your, you know, I don't really recommend the kitchen counter because you want to keep it, you don't want it to get too warm.
Yeah.
But
bacteria.
But if you want to do a quicker method, you still get it out of that plastic bag, wrap it in the paper towels, and put it in a Ziploc bag, and then you can submerge it or whatever.
In cool water. You don't want to put it in hot water because then it'll cook it.
Yeah, you don't want to get it above 40 degrees. So make sure it stays below 40 degrees.
Yeah. All right. So you put a little ice in it then?
If it runs the risk of getting too hot, that bacteria will start growing at 40 degrees, so you got to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, how do you guys keep that shop so clean, Raymond? I mean, that must be we haven't even talked about that.
Right.
That must be a chore just to keep the bacteria down, to keep that shop clean, right?
Yeah, we go through a lot of degreaser and a lot of bleach, and it's about an hour and a half process just to clean up the shop, just to make sure that everything's tucked away and put away and everything's sanitized.
It's one of the things I say about Fisherman's Processing all the time is the best mark you can have for a place is for a shop that does nothing but cut apart fish. When you walk in there and it doesn't smell a hint like fish, like they're doing something very right. Like
it's like like going to Point Loma Seafood.
Exactly.
You walk in, you don't smell fish. They're doing it
right spot.
You go into a Fisherman's Processing, it doesn't smell like fish. You go into a fish market or a fish processor, it smells like fish, you turn the other way.
It can smell like fresh fish, but you don't want to smell like rotten fish.
Like rotten fish, yeah.
That place is surgical looking. I mean, it really is. Like, it's so clean, the boards and the table and the stainless. And, yeah, you guys do such a hell of a job keeping that place that way. It is. Again, for people that haven't seen it, like, you owe it to yourself to go. I think so many of us just utilize the service and... You know, especially if you're riding on one of the boats that takes the processing order on the boat, like, you just don't see all the steps that are involved. You just back up to the shop, and there's two guys helping you put fish in your cooler, and away you go.
Yeah, and hence, you know, great crew that we have there.
You have an awesome crew.
They work so hard, maybe 10 hours of cutting fish. They're tired. They put in another hour and a half of cleaning that place, but we start the next day off fresh.
Yeah. And speaking of all the guys, don't forget to tip the guys when you leave, because you guys pool all those tips, right, Raymond?
Yeah.
So if you guys give a 20 for helping you load the fish, that's not going to go in his pocket. It's going to go in the group tech. In the group pot,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we usually wait a week, and then we'll split them amongst our crew. That way everybody's... gets a piece of it.
That's awesome.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
How about this time we talk to Carl? He's calling us from Lakeside this morning. Hey, Carl, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning. It's great listening to you guys. Quickly on that one call, I'd recommend to smoke the bluefin belly. Smoke it 2 hours at 250. It's awesome. It's awesome. So usually when I catch tuna, I usually give a few to the processor, and I always take one home because I love to fillet it myself. I have two questions, though. We also fish down in Mexico a lot and for many years, but my buddies always said is when you cut the fillet right off the fish, it goes straight into a Ziploc and you freeze it and you don't wash it. I know, but you guys mentioned, well, in the States, like if I fillet one on my tailgate here, I could use the freshwater here maybe, but even then I've never done that. I always just kept it with the fish slime on the fillet. But in Mexico, I think that might be better not to rinse it with fresh water down there. But that's my two questions about rinsing with water.
I think if you've got something you don't want to eat on the fillet, you go ahead and just rinse it.
And that could be, that could just be scales that made their way onto the board. Yeah. That could be you poked a part of the belly linings, whatever. A little bit of blood, whatever.
If it needs rinsing, I'd just go ahead and rinse it. You're not going to ruin that fillet, especially yellowtail, as durable as it gets. Just go ahead and rinse it. You can pat it dry with some paper towels if you want to keep the moisture down. But the thing about the Ziploc bag, just make sure there's no – a lot of times you get that juice coming out of the loin. Even it goes in dry, but in a couple hours, all of a sudden you start seeing juice seeping from the loin in there, and it's sitting in juice. Don't let your fillet sit in the juice, even if it's from the loin. Put a piece of paper towel around it, wrap it or something, just to keep the juice from leaking out.
So, if you're doing the home job, like Carl's maybe talking about, you just, when you're done putting all your, before you backpack it, should it just be all sitting on paper towels to soak that up and then go straight into the bag and then get backpacked? Or what's the process?
If you're going to vacuum seal it and then freeze it, you probably don't have to worry about moisture as much as if it's sitting in a regular Ziploc bag.
Okay.
You know what works great are those AFCO
fish pads
are amazing.
Yeah, same.
I don't know if you've ever seen those, but they're like paper towels on steroids.
You
put one of those in a bag when you're cutting fish, like on the boat. Like if for some reason we have to cut a fish on field research.
Because Raymond had five boats that day, and he told you, good luck, man, I'm not doing it.
You put one of those AFCO absorbent pads in there, and it sucks all that moisture out.
That's a product that's made specifically for doing what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. How important is it, Raymond, the what you're cutting on? In other words, you guys cut on stainless steel, and most of us can't do stainless steel. How important is it your cutting board selection?
It's important. You want something that's soft to absorb your edge and it won't nick your blade or something like that. And something that's gonna barrel through, I guess, the fish slime, because a lot of the fish have a lot of oil and stuff. So something you want to be able to clean very well as you're using it.
Because you can get sick from, like, if you just cut on a regular piece of wood or something like that, that can contain a lot of bacteria. I learned that the hard way in Christmas Island, because they were cutting fish on this dirty cutting board, and it was like, there's a lot of bacteria in that. A non-porous surface. So like a cutting board
material.
Like starboard or something like that.
I'm not sure what kind of plastic it is, but it's like a PVC or whatever.
Yeah,
starboard,
I think.
But starboard, is that what it's called? Cutting board material. They just call it cutting board.
And you guys have that on top of your table, or do you cut directly onto the stainless?
Stainless steel table with the starboard, or the white plastic on top of it.
That's what I,
Yeah, and then you want to clean that board when you're done.
Yeah,
very, very well. What do you clean it with so you don't get stuff into the fish from the cleaning process?
Usually we will use, depending on how much time we have to clean it, we usually will either soak it in one of our fish bins with a little bit of soap water and degreaser and a little bit of bleach. But mainly bleach, we'll just pour it on there and make sure we rinse it down, because that bleach will bring it right back to the white coloring, and it does kill a lot of the bacteria.
Yeah, nothing cleans like bleach, man.
And we use sanitizers and stuff like that.
Sure.
But the board, the table, and the cutting surfaces all get rinsed. They get sanitized and cleaned with the products. All that gets rinsed off before we start the day's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's no leftover.
There's no leftover sanitizer or bleach or anything on the table when we start our day's work.
Very important.
Yeah,
right. For sure. Hey, had a fun text. This is good morning, everybody. Great show with Fish Bro. The Fish Bros are so awesome. Watching Raymond is definitely a show. Ask Sean about the scrape of the tuna, but don't turn too many people on to scrape. It's the VIP piece of the fish. That's from our buddy Jeff from Sushi on a Roll.
Hey, Jeff, good question. Yeah, if you want to scrape your carcass, you just have to ask for the, we call it the frame of the fish, and it's like the ribs, if you will, the vertical piece that you cut the loin off of. People will take a spoon and they'll scrape that off. That's where you're going to get your spicy tuna from. You're going to scrape that off and collect it all up, put a little sriracha in it, and that's your spicy tuna right there.
I'm going to get my spicy tuna from Jeff.
Like right off the
bat. That's where my spicy tuna is going to come from.
Jeff has the best spicy tuna, and everybody should go to Jeff for their spicy tuna.
Oh, yeah. No, Jeff's spicy tuna.
A lot easier than sushi on a roll.
It's a funny story. We did have a guy that asked if it was a sushi guy.
Sure.
And he says, can I come in the shop and just scrape bones to get the spicy tuna off? And we're like, yeah, okay, we'll try this. You know, we'll sit off on the side here and do it. He was there for about an hour, and he had like not even a sandwich bag full.
Yeah,
wow. He's like, I'm not getting enough off of each fish because you guys are doing too good.
Yeah, you're
of a
too
job.
Good.
he goes, never mind.
That's
I'm over
great.
This. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Raymond.
Yeah. Hey, Nick from Chula Vista says, do you have on your seasonings through Fish Pros and Markets? Do you have allergy warnings, specifically gluten-free sesame, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're all gluten-free. We do have all the ingredients listed, so if you have an allergy, it's all listed on the back. Everything's there.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there's a particular something in there that should be there, you can read right off the label.
It's right there, yep.
So everything is
there. Yeah, it's very clear.
So the most popular, we haven't talked to spices and the rubs and stuff like that. What are the most popular?
Well, the poke mix
by far
is like the leader.
And so then the poke sauce, man. It's like we use the poke sauce just to do like stir fry and stuff all the time.
We go through probably three bottles of sauce to our one package. We do the same thing. We use the flavor stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's a mix of everything good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it is. And so sesame and spice is right up there. It's one of the top contenders.
As far as the spices go.
As far as, because bluefin, you were in the bluefin, you know, a lot of bluefin going on right now. But
sure.
Coming up in the ranks is our ceviche mix.
It's to make a quick, easy
ceviche. It's coming up quick on that. And then, you know, the Taste of Bob, the chili lime has always been, like, really top contenders.
Cajun is me. That's my favorite.
Sweet Cajun
is great.
That's a rub, right?
Yeah, it's a.
What's the difference between a spice and a rub?
No, not really.
Basically,
the rub, they're interchangeable, really.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I dig it, man.
Yeah.
But when we say a mix, like a poke mix or a ceviche mix, we're saying that like that's how you make a poke or a ceviche dish.
How many different ones do you have?
God, I think we're up to like 20 something now.
20?
Maybe even more.
That's wild. Do you see any in the future coming down the pipeline? Will there ever be a wet sauce for the ceviche?
We sell the lime juice.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we sell the lime juice. The vegetables, you just get fresh vegetables and add those. But we sell the lime juice right in the shop. And
so is it like a bottle of lime juice?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that something, like I have the ceviche on the boat, so like if we catch a fish, we want to make ceviche out of, you know, we're always missing the lime and the vegetables, so now you can actually have, is this something that'll keep for a while?
The lime juice?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely shelf stable.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
okay.
It has to be from non-concentrate.
So
it's a special, it's not just concentrated lime juice, it's non-concentrated.
Can you make a margarita out of it?
I've never tried. I know the margarita is good with the ceviche.
Sean could. Let me ask him. He could.
So then all you have to do is just add vegetables and you're good.
Yeah, just add vegetables and you're all set.
Wow.
That's cool.
And if you're on the boat and you don't have vegetables, just have ceviche without vegetables.
Okay.
There you go. I like it. Hey, fun text came through from Dave in Anaheim. I love to dig some of the guts into my garden every year for my long trip. I know it sounds strange, but could I pick up my processed fillets and then also a bag of guts?
Usually, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, just
during lobster season, then it all might be spoken for. But
Yeah, I got to tell you, my buddy Dan Walsh that has the most amazing oranges in the world. He lives in Carlsbad, of all places, he has this amazing orange tree. And I said, what's the secret to these oranges making them so great? He puts his fish guts at the bottom of the orange tree. So there you go. You just want to make sure your dog or the coyotes don't dig in it because it's like gnarly, man. Get it off of them, for sure. All right, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Chuck? Chuck's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I really do miss the shows you used to do at the Hall Show here where I could get there in person and then hang out with you guys. So hopefully maybe next year.
Yeah.
for sure. And yeah, don't forget the hall show. We didn't hear from Bart this morning. Don't forget the last day.
Today is it.
Last day of the year for the Bart Hall show. Opens at 10 a.m., closes, I believe, at five or six tonight. But at the Long Beach Convention Center. Be sure to go by. It's going on today all day. So yeah, thanks, Chuck, for that reminder of the show. Great text here from Jim from Huntington Beach. Says, cutting board material you want to cut fish on is a surface called polypropylene plastic sheet stock.
Yep, that's
yeah.
It. That's what
I wonder if that's the same as starboard. I don't know.
I feel like starboard's a harder material.
Is it harder?
I feel like it. You know,
because you can build stuff out of,
exactly,
out of starboard.
All that stuff that we use for. I mean, I'm sure it would work.
No, he's got it right. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just get it from San Diego Plastic. They call it cutting board plastic.
Oh, they do.
That's what I've heard that name before. That's
the poly.
He's right.
Okay.
He's correct.
Yeah.
Cool.
No. So good. That's good stuff. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Again, I don't know, but I know it's plastic and I know that it works.
Yeah.
This is a fun text. This is from Matt, who's on the Pacific Queen right now. How important is it to dry your fish before vacuum packing? And can you add spice to it before you vacuum pack? Love the show. Been listening since the old 690 days. That's from Matt. Matt in San Diego, on the Queen.
I think if it's wet, dry it. I mean, you try it. You don't want it to go into the bag all wet, that whole juice thing that we've already covered.
How do you guys do that?
We have drying tape, drying racks.
Oh, you have actual drying racks.
Yeah.
So before it goes in the bag, that fish goes onto a drying rack.
Yeah.
And how long will it sit on the drying rack?
Whatever the process. If it's,
yeah.
It'll sit there for a little
uh-huh.
bit. And then spicing it, I'd be careful of that because of the salt. I think you might get a little salty if there's spice. Because a lot of our rubs have some, you know, quite a bit of salt in it. And I think it might come out a little salty and you'll lose the flavor of the herbs and seasonings
okay.
in there. I think I'd wait to season it before you cook it.
Yeah. All right. So season it up.
Before you cook it,
yeah.
rather than before you bag it.
I see. All right.
If I understood the question.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. And how many people come into Fisherman's Processing to pick up their fish, and then they see all your spices and rubs and just go, oh, I need this for the fish or that? Are you like the connoisseur of spices? You need this, you need that. Or you kind of guide people on that?
They have questions what goes good with what. And they think that we're only like – for fish spices, we're not. We have we have stuff for beef.
Dry
we
tips.
Have stuff for pork.
Oh, okay.
We have stuff for chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, so all
you
your
have
proteins,
all
we got it covered. You know.
So what's the favorite beef spice?
Smokehouse beef.
Smokehouse. And what about chicken or
chicken,
pork?
Sweet Cajun is probably
sweet
one of the
Cajun.
Top ones.
Okay.
Especially at Rick's house. And then sesame and spices are also really good on chicken.
Oh, is it really sesame
yeah.
and spice?
Yeah.
Raymond, what's your favorite?
Lemon herb, I'd have to say.
Lemon herb. I would say that's probably my favorite, too. And it actually has, like, pieces of lemon in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so... That's why they call it lemon herb. Whatever they call it.
The lemon peel.
The essence, yeah, for sure.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got more of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
It's showtime. The Bart Hall Show, March 29th to April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center, has set the standard for all other outdoor recreation events since 1946. Nicknamed the granddaddy of them all, the Bart Hall Show, presented by Progressive, will be celebrating the 75th year of Hall Family Show production by honoring Fred and Lois Hall and the outdoor recreation show industry they created. Acres of fishing tackle, boats, international hunting and fishing travel, overland vehicles, campers, and lots of cool stuff. A full day of family fun. Hundreds of seminars, the Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, Ultimate Air Dogs, Paul Bunyan's Lumberjack Show, Great American Duck Races, Kids Casting Contests, Air Gun Ranges, Archery, Axe Throwing, and so much more. Thanks to our sponsors, Mammoth Lakes, Turner's Outdoorsman, Accurate Fishing Tackle, Bob's Ends, Okuma, Convict Lake, Daiwa, Fisherman's Landing, Shimano, and all of our friends for the last 75 years. Don't miss the Bart Hall Show, March 29th to April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center. Details at hallshows.com. That's hallshows.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood, now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more. We'll be right back.
Tough anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out who's getting hooked up with some Fisherman's Processing. That poke kit, including the splice friend, is going to each a caller and a texter. And then the winner of the Anza Filet Knife, we're going to go to the coin flip.
All right.
Raymond's going to do us the honor.
Yeah, Raymond, who gets the Anza?
Okay, it is a texter today. So Tom in San Clemente, you have got yourself a brand new Anza knife. And
a poke kit,
and then Cheer in Cardiff, you got yourself a new poke kit as well.
Cheer in Cardiff, congratulations, gets the poke kit. And Sean and Raymond, great show, man.
Awesome,
it just went so quickly here, having you guys 2 hours. There's always a good time talking about fish processing and taking care of your fish and how to cut fish and all that good stuff. Again, what's the process at Fisherman's Processing?
Give us a call, give us a text at 619-255-3128. Make sure you get a reservation before your trip. Save that reservation text.
Save that text.
And
like print it or whatever, just save it on your
screen. Once you have a reservation, you are in our hands. We got you.
Yeah, all right. Very good. And Raymond, of course, the location, you can actually buy the spices and rubs. And
yes,
you don't need to drop off fish. You can just come in and buy all the spices and rubs and the poke kit and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
How do we find you?
We're on 4004 Taylor Street, right in Old Town. And even if you guys aren't even dropping off fish and you want to just come on by and see if we're cutting, come on in and just walk.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, just go to the front door, park across the street or whatever, and just walk across the street and come and watch them in action.
Watch the best show in town.
Yeah, it is the best show in town. Thanks, guys. Thank you out there. Thanks to JP for manning the phones today. And, of course, thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And thank you out there for listening and calling and texting and being a big part of Let's Talk Hookup here. Rick and I will be back next Saturday with Captain Art Taylor from The Searcher. And then next Sunday, Captain Andrew Viola from the Pacifica. We're going to be talking bluefin and more next week on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Let's Talk Hookup app.